The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, The Bulletin, and this is just a bunch of references for you. AARP wants to help you stay fit. Virtual and in-person workout programs can keep you motivated. First, we have the 30-day Couch to Fit Challenge. Build healthy habits from home with AARP's Couch to Fit Challenge. The month-long video series takes less than 15 minutes each day. It was curated by Professor of Exercise Science Peter Runai to improve strength, cardiovascular fitness, and flexibility. And each video you complete earns you AARP rewards points that you can redeem for gift cards or other perks. Visit aarp.org/couch2fit to get started. Then we have a virtual, another program for older Americans who want to feel stronger and have more energy, but may have fallen out of a routine. AARP offers videos, live events, and programs to help get you back on track. Staying fit is especially important as we age. Consistent exercise can reduce the risk of chronic disease, improve balance, and boost mental health. And it helps keep older adults more independent, research shows. How long you live is important, but how healthy you are is too, says Erwin Tan, Senior Director of Thought Leadership for Health at AARP, and a former geriatrician. Tan says the focus should be on health span, the number of years you spend in reasonably good health, and exercise can help extend your health span. If you're looking to exercise more regularly, AARP can help you do it without a gym membership or any fancy equipment. Here's some of what we offer. Virtual Community Center. AARP's online community center features a variety of interactive events and classes that contribute to staying healthy. Among the fitness programs offered are wellness workshops, strength training, chair yoga, tai chi, and Zumba. Go to aarp.org/wellness-workshops to find upcoming events. Senior Planet from AARP. This charitable affiliate of AARP helps older adults learn new skills, exercise, make friends, and more. Free online classes include fun and functional workouts that focus on flexibility, bone health, and strength. The website also has news articles and columns focused on staying fit and maintaining a healthy lifestyle. You can check it out at seniorplanet.org/fitness. AARP Answers YouTube Channel. This streaming channel, youtube.com/AARP Answers, is a resource for tech, social security, and overall health tips, but it also shares 10-minute exercise routines you can follow anytime at home. Everything from full-body workouts to Pilates classes. Staying sharp. One key benefit of physical fitness is its ability to help preserve and improve brain health. AARP's Staying Sharp program shows you how to build good physical habits that may lower the risk of cognitive decline. Go to stayingsharp.aarp.org. to try it out. Fit for Life. This AARP platform provides a variety of exercise videos led by Denise Austin and others that you can watch at any time. Go to aarp.org/staying fit to target your core, balance, flexibility, and cardiovascular fitness, no matter your level of expertise. And finally, health news. Visit aarp.org/health to find the latest science-backed information on fitness, nutrition, medications, medical breakthroughs, brain health, and more. You'll also find lots of tips on how to live your healthiest life at 50 and beyond. Next, also from the bulletin, under the heading of State News, and this time it features North Carolina. Big losses propel fraud cases. A.G. Jackson, crypto scams are a growing worry. This is by Michelle Crouch. For Chris Malloy, a fraud detective with the Guilford County Sheriff's Office in Greensboro, there's often little he can do when faced with a horrific case of cryptocurrency fraud. When the victim puts the money into a crypto ATM, it goes straight to the bad guy's wallet, explains Malloy, who adds that he's had more than one victim that's lost their life savings. Fraud fighters like Malloy are seeing more cases of crypto and other forms of fraud. Beyond that, federal officials say one of the biggest drivers of overall fraud losses are thefts that top $100,000. The trend has fraud experts, organizations such as AARP, and government officials, including North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson, scrambling to teach people how to avoid the scams. For Detective Malloy, one of his recent cases involved a retired Greensboro area nurse who received what looked like a routine text from Amazon about a membership fee increase. When she called the number in the text to cancel, the representative asked her if she wanted to close her personal or business account. She told him she didn't have a business account. He insisted she did, and he added it looked like her Social Security number had been flagged for criminal activity. He then offered to connect her to someone at her bank. What followed was a series of transferred phone calls and messages with official-looking documents that convinced the then 74-year-old woman that her accounts were compromised and her money was at risk. She ultimately withdrew more than $10,000 in cash and sent it to the thief through a cryptocurrency kiosk. By the time she realized what had happened and reported the crime, she was told there was no way to recover the money. "I felt so bad for her," said Malloy. The woman also told her story to the bulletin, but asked that her name not be used to protect her privacy. Law enforcement officials and consumer advocates are hearing a growing number of similar stories as cryptocurrency kiosks spread across North Carolina, often into gas stations, convenience stores, and other retail outlets. The machines, also called crypto ATMs, have become a preferred payment pipeline for criminals, says Jackson, a Democrat who became Attorney General in 2025. The prevalence of these kiosks is really remarkable, given that they didn't exist as of a couple of years ago, Jackson says. And what we're seeing is that they have become the back half of a lot of scams. Data from the FBI shows that reported complaints linked to crypto ATMs doubled nationwide from 2023 to 2024, with fraud losses totaling $247 million. Older adults were disproportionately affected. In North Carolina, 25 victims lost about $3.4 million in scams tied to crypto machines in 2024, Jackson says, an average loss of $133,000 per victim. About two-thirds of the losses were from older adults, Jackson says. Experts say those figures underestimate the true scope of the problem because of substantial underreporting of the crimes. Jackson says crypto kiosks are most often used in imposter scams, in which criminals pose as officials from government or financial institutions and use scare tactics to push victims to send money quickly. His office has launched a prevention effort to educate the public and post fraud warning signs on the kiosks. AARP North Carolina is helping to lead that work as part of the state's NC Senior Consumer Fraud Task Force, which includes state agencies, federal partners, businesses, and local law enforcement. Through town hall events, signage, and other efforts, AARP is working to help older North Carolinians recognize fraud red flags, such as unsolicited calls or messages, pressure to pay right now, or someone asking for payment in cryptocurrency. AARP is also laying the groundwork for new crypto kiosk regulations at the state level, says Chris Brandenburg, manager of federal and state advocacy for AARP North Carolina. Because 2026 is a short legislative session, when lawmakers typically limit debate on new policy proposals, AARP will work to build support for legislation it hopes to introduce in 2027. Brandenburg says, protections could include daily transaction limits, required fraud warnings on kiosks, or a requirement that machines provide printed receipts. 17 states have already passed similar laws. For more information, visit aarp.org/states/North-Carolina/fraud-prevention. The author of this piece, Michelle Crouch, is a North Carolina-based journalist who covers health care and consumer issues. She has written for the Bulletin for more than 10 years. Now, let's look at two more articles from the Bulletin. Medicare Made Easy. This is by Anne Kayrish. Why didn't I get a notice about my Medicare enrollment when I was turning 65, but my neighbor did? Not everyone gets an initial enrollment period packet or is automatically enrolled in Medicare after turning 65. Only people who already receive Social Security or U.S. Railroad Retirement Board, RRB, benefits are sent a notice and automatically signed up for Medicare Parts A and B. Even if you are automatically enrolled in Medicare, you have the option to decline Part B. Just check the box on the back of the card indicating you do not want Part B, which covers visits to the doctor, and return the card to Medicare. If you don't apply for Social Security or RRB benefits before turning 65, you will not receive a notice about enrolling. You will need to start by visiting ssa.gov or by calling 800-772-1213. My monthly drug plan premium includes a late enrollment penalty for the year I didn't have coverage. How are penalties calculated? Your Medicare drug plan premium includes a late enrollment penalty because you went more than 63 days before signing up for drug coverage. Medicare calculates this penalty by charging a percentage of the current national average drug plan premium. You pay 1 percentage point for each month you were without credible coverage. In 2026, the national base beneficiary premium is $38.99. If you went 12 months without credible coverage, your penalty is 12% of $38.99, or about $4.68, which is added to your monthly plan premium. The penalty is calculated off the base beneficiary premium, not your plan's premium. So enrolling in a cheaper plan will not lower it. Your penalty will vary each year. It reflects drug plan premiums, which change. We moved my mom to live closer to us, and now she no longer qualifies for the assistance program that pays her Medicare premium. How can she be eligible in one state but not another? The programs that pay your mom's premium are called Medicare Savings Programs, MSPs. These programs help people with limited income and assets afford Medicare and are run through each state's Medicaid office. The federal government sets basic income and asset limits, but states can choose to allow higher amounts, which means eligibility rules are not the same everywhere. In your mom's case, it's possible that she no longer qualifies because the state she lives in now has stricter rules than where she lived before. contact your State Health Insurance Association program, SHIP, at shiphelp.org to learn about the eligibility requirements. What is a benefit period under Medicare? A benefit period is how original Medicare measures your use of Part A hospital and skilled nursing facility, SNF, services. It begins the day you're admitted to a hospital or SNF and ends after 60 days without inpatient care. There's no limit to the number of benefit periods allowed in a year. Each time a new benefit period starts, you pay the Part A deductible, which was $1,736 in 2026. Medicare covers up to 90 hospital days and up to 100 SNF days per benefit period. Copays apply after 60 hospital days and 20 SNF days. All Medigap plans pay the Part A deductible and cover the hospital costs, but fewer cover the SNF coinsurance. Most Medicare Advantage plans have their own rules for inpatient stays. The author of this piece, Anne Karish, has worked as a Medicare counselor with the State Health Insurance Assistance Program, or SHIP. And you can go to aarp.org/Medicare for quick answers to your questions via our chat bot. Next is Social Security Simplified, and this is by Tom Margot. My wife is 67 and gets her own Social Security. I am 62 and was planning on waiting until 70 to file for my benefits. But I was recently diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I understand that I could apply for Social Security disability benefits now, which would pay my full retirement age FRA rate. And then when I die, my wife would get that FRA amount for as long as she lives. Is this correct? Also, is it true that there's a long waiting period for disability benefits? So sorry to hear about your cancer diagnosis. What most people in your situation do is file for both Social Security retirement benefits and disability benefits, aka Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, at the same time. Your retirement claim will be approved in a matter of weeks, and benefits will start soon thereafter. Right now, approval of a disability claim normally takes about 6 months, although an expedited process is available for people with severe cancers like yours. As you mentioned, there's also a mandatory 5-month waiting period after the onset of your disability, as determined by Social Security, before the first benefits can be paid. Once they kick in, your ongoing SSDI benefit rate will be slightly less than your FRA rate. That's because your disability benefit, normally equal to your FRA rate, is reduced by about 0.5% for each month you receive an early retirement benefit before you begin receiving SSDI. And after your death, your wife's survivor benefit will be that reduced rate. 2 months ago, I filed for my Social Security at age 70. My wife did not work enough outside the home to qualify for retirement benefits. She was told by a Social Security Administration rep that she is not eligible for spousal benefits since I earn more than $25,000 a year. Do my outside earnings make her ineligible for spousal benefits? They certainly do not. Once you are over your full retirement age, the earnings penalty rules no longer apply. That means you are due your own benefits and your wife is due spousal benefits on your record. You and your wife should go online immediately to ssa.gov/apply and file a claim for spousal benefits. Her claim can be retroactive to the month you filed for your benefits. We sold a house in 2024. The money we made on that sale is causing my Medicare premium to go up now. But my husband recently died. Can I appeal that Medicare premium increase? Yes, you can. An income spike such as yours can raise your Medicare Part B premium 2 years later. But you have good grounds for filing an appeal of that increase, the death of your spouse, which Medicare deems a life-changing event. For information on other reasons to appeal, such as stopping work, do an internet search for SSA Handbook 2507, or you can call Social Security at 800-772-1213. You'll need to gather documentation to prove your case and fill out an SSA-44 form, available at ssa.gov/forms. Then submit it to your local Social Security office. And finally, I am receiving Social Security disability benefits. If I get married, will my disability checks be cut off or reduced? Absolutely not. Your marital status has nothing to do with your eligibility for or the amount of your Social Security disability benefits. And Tom Margot, this author of this piece, is a 32-year-old veteran of the Social Security Administration. He's also the author of Social Security, Simple and Smart. Now, let's look at this article from Seniors Guide magazine. This is by Rachel Green, and it's entitled Trim Your Monthly Budget. There are many ways to trim your monthly budget, even if you think you've already cut out all the extra expenses. Whether you're planning for retirement or already there, you may be looking for ways to tighten the belt. Rachel Green of Kiplinger Financial offers 5 categories where you can cut back. The key is to treat your budget as if you were downsizing your home, advises Million Dollar Roundtable member and personal finance expert Roy Letterman. You'll need to eliminate some items altogether and find creative ways to live comfortably with less. I've listed some ideas below of where you could find savings in your own budget, including ballpark estimates of how much each option could save. Tips for trimming your monthly budget. Groceries. Cut $242 per month. An average 4-person household in the United States wastes $56 per week on food that ends up going uneaten, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. So, eliminating that wasted food could save the family about $242 per month or $121 per month for a couple. Here are some ways to do that. Plan meals with overlapping ingredients to take advantage of sales, coupons, and bulk pricing. If you struggle with impulse buying, use curbside pickup or make fewer but larger shopping trips each month. On days you aren't able to cook a meal as planned, store the ingredients in the freezer to buy yourself more time to use them. Join your grocery store's free loyalty program, if available, to get exclusive coupons and early notice about sales and deals. You can use that to guide your meal planning. You can claw back even more out of your grocery and gas budget by using the right cashback credit card. My current setup includes the American Express Blue Cash Preferred card and the Costco Anywhere Visa. The former nets me 6% back on groceries, but can't be used at Costco. The latter earns 2% on Costco purchases and 5% on Costco gas. All told, I earn about $50 each month cashback on gas and groceries for a household of 2. The key to making this strategy work is sticking to a grocery budget even though you're using credit, so you can pay it off in full before you're charged interest. Earning cash back on every grocery trip can help put a little of that money back in your pocket. Streaming. Cut $50 per month. On average, Americans spend $50 per month on streaming services, but with a little creativity, you could cut that to nearly zero without giving up streaming altogether. Some credit cards offer generous streaming credits. You should also check your mobile carrier, internet provider, and shopping memberships for offers. For example, T-Mobile offers a free Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus bundle with select mobile plans. Walmart Plus also offers a free subscription to Paramount Plus or Peacock. You can alternate between them every couple of months to get both for free. Another trick is to save on streaming is taking advantage of seasonal subscription deals. Last May, Peacock was offering a full year of the subscription for $24.99. At the same time, my Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card was offering a one-time $7.99 statement credit if I used that card to pay for a Peacock subscription. I was able to take advantage of both offers at once and am now enjoying a full year of Peacock for just $17, a savings of $63 for the year. Utilities cut $122 per month. Some strategies are more dramatic lifestyle changes, while others are clever financial tweaks that can help you trim your budget without you even noticing a change in your lifestyle. To get to that $122 in savings, I relied on a few averages. American households spend about $143 per month on electricity, Energy Information Administration says, $80 on gas, American Gas Association says, and $83 on water via the EPA. Lastly, a CNET analysis estimates U.S. households spend about $78 per month on the Internet. Here are some tips to lower each of those bills. The EPA provides easy tips that can cut your water bill by about $31 per month. And that's at www.epa.gov/watersense/statistics-and-facts. The Department of Energy put together a guide to help homeowners cut energy bills, electricity and gas, by about 25%. At energy.gov/sites/prod/files/2013/06/F2, energy-energysavers.pdf. At Kiplinger, we also have a guide with 18 ways to cut your energy bills. I'm not going to give you that one. You may also be able to shave up to $35 per month off your internet bill. Downgrading your speed to the next level could save about $20, and you may not even notice the difference. And finally, if you're renting your equipment, that typically adds about $15 per month to your bill. Bring your own costs about $100, so you would earn that upfront investment back in less than 7 months. Also, older Americans can call their utility providers to check for senior discounts. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.